Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
Let me tell you a story. The Smith family moved to Pennsylvania. Mr. Smith received a promotion, and so they had to relocate. They had been part of the community where they lived for a number of years, and they moved to Pennsylvania, got connected with a church in Pennsylvania, but it was hard to leave the church that they were attending because they loved the folks there. Well, it took about 2 years, but after 2 years, they had an opportunity to travel by the town in which they used to live, and said, let's do it so that we can go to church. So that Sunday morning, the family got ready, and they came to the Sunday morning service, came in the back door and in the lobby, received a lot of hugs, gave a lot of hugs, were so glad to see everybody. After service was over and they were still visiting with people they hadn't met before service, they asked a question. They said, where's the Joneses? I didn't see them today. Where are the Millers? Haven't seen them today. Did they move too? Are they just off? And it grew a little bit quiet, the people that they asked, and they said, well, you know, something happened. Don't know what it was. Something happened. And they drifted away. Similar story could be told of every church in every town across the United States. Something happened, and they just stopped coming. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I've entitled my message, A Foothold for the Devil. A Foothold for the Devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 is one text we're going to look at. We'll look at another one in a few minutes. The Bible says this, And don't sin by letting anger control you. It's not just getting angry, it's letting anger control you, getting it deep inside of you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I took my message title from that verse. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. I'm going to define two terms this morning. Many of you, you already know, but just in case you don't, maybe there's somebody who's tuned in today for the very first time. You're not a follower of Jesus, and you hear this term devil and Satan, and you wonder what we're talking about. So let me define for you the term devil, coming up on the screen. Devil, a being called Lucifer or Satan, that is the leader of all the spiritual forces of darkness. He is also called the devil. There is a spiritual force that is called Satan. His name was Lucifer in the Old Testament. He is the one that led a rebellion in heaven where one-third of the angels fell. That definition for devil is very specific, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the second definition, which is there, a generic term for the legions of evil spiritual beings who roam the earth and whose job is to work against the plans and the people of God. What is the devil? We use this as a generic term for the legions of evil spiritual beings who roam the earth and whose job is to work against the plans and people of God. Let me illustrate it this way, right out of the news. If you've watched the news, what they've said is, Putin has attacked the Ukraine. And we know exactly what that means, but we know that Vladimir Putin didn't go to the border of Ukraine with a gun or something and attack Ukraine. Or it might be that Russia invaded Ukraine. Well, again, we know that the entire country of Russia didn't invade the Ukraine, but the military invaded. But we use those terms generically. And that's what we mean most of the time in the scripture when the term devil is used. Even when the term Satan is used, there are times it's very specific. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it was Satan himself that did the tempting. But when you're tempted, listen, the devil is an individual being. When you're tempted, first of all, most temptation comes from our own fallen hearts, but there are times that we are tempted by beings. We are tempted by one of these spiritual beings, and we will, in a generic way, call those beings the devil. So when we speak, when I'm speaking today of the devil, or the enemy, or Satan, or the thief, what I'm speaking about is demons or evil spirits or fallen angels. Again, three different names for the same group of evil beings. Demons or evil spirits or fallen angels that come against you and I who are believers. Jesus gave us a description of why the devil is on earth. What is his purpose? What is his plan? Now, this isn't God's plan. This is his plan. John 10:10, the thief, which is the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The devil has no other purpose, and neither do all the demonic spirits. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, this refers to Jesus, have come that they, the children of God, may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Let me just read it now without me inserting things. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or the way I memorize it, have it more abundantly. That is Jesus' plan. That is Jesus' purpose. But the devil has a plan and a purpose also. He wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And he will attack you and is attacking you every moment of the day that he can, especially if he has gotten a foothold. So let's define that word foothold. Foothold. I got this from an online dictionary. Foothold. It's a noun. But there are several definitions. This is the one that I'm using. Foothold. A secure position from which further progress may be made. A secure position from which further progress can be made. The example that they gave in the online dictionary was this. The company is attempting to gain a foothold in the Russian market. Now, when you would read a statement like that, you know what it is. They're trying to break in and to get a secure position from which further progress can be made. Well, that is exactly what the devil wants to do. The Bible's clear about this. The devil or one or several of those evil spiritual forces can get a foothold in the life of a follower of Jesus. The devil, one of those evil spiritual forces, can get a foothold in the life of a follower of Jesus. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm secure by the blood of the Lamb. That's not what the Bible reveals. Yes, you can stay secure in Jesus. But the Bible reveals that the enemy, the devil, can get a foothold. It is also clear that we are the ones who give him the foothold. He doesn't just push open the door by himself. Notice what it said up there. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger, it's not God's anger. It's not the devil's anger. Who's angry? You and I are. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. So the devil can get a foothold in yours, in my life. And when he does, he has got a secure position from which he wishes to gain further progress in your life. Let me list for you some common footholds for the devil. The Bible just specifically said anger, but let me list them. Anger's one. We just talked about it. Another is offense. Somebody offends you. You have an offense, and then you remain offended. Proverbs 18:19 says this, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. An offended friend, it's a foothold for the devil. Here's some others. Disappointment. Embarrassment, sin, our own, or someone in our family, failure, and there are many others. Places where the devil gets a foothold. Why? Because we have allowed him in. We don't take care of things quickly enough. Excuse me. I've experienced many of these things on the list and many others, and I've become much more cautious in my life because I have had the devil get a foothold. But as I've matured in my faith, what saddens me is the amount of footholds the devil, remember, generically an evil entity, has gotten a foothold in way too many followers of Jesus' life. And when he's in, he gets that opening, that secure position, and then he moves even farther forward. Nobody does this on purpose. Nobody says, hey, devil, come on in, get a foothold. We don't. But it happens when we're not on our guard. And I want you to hear this. This is a theme that the Holy Spirit has put on me for quite a while. The devil will get footholds when we have strong emotion involved in something. Anger is a strong emotion. Offense is strong emotion. Embarrassment can be a strong emotion. Failure is a strong emotion. Sin can lead to strong emotions. When we have a strong emotion that isn't taken care of, there's nothing wrong. The Bible doesn't say anger is wrong. It says when anger controls us, when we hold our anger, when we let this, we don't take care of it right away. We let the sun go down on our anger. That's when the foothold can be established. That's when the devil gets his foot in the door and he establishes a secure position. Remember, he only has one purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll start there and he will begin to expand his position in your life. So one of the things that you need to do, and I'll talk more about this in 2 weeks. This is going to be a two-parter. Josh is going to come in the middle and talk. This is going to be a two-parter. One of the things that we need to do, and I believe it comes from this verse in Ephesians, is we need to not let the sun go down on whatever that thing is. That offense, that embarrassment, the sin, the failure. Don't let the sun go down on it. Take care of things quickly, within hours if possible. If forgiveness is needed, within hours. If you need to ask for forgiveness, within hours, so that a foothold is not established. Each of these, plus could be so many more, each of these, if not handled properly, can give the devil a foothold. And once he has a foothold, it is harder to get rid of him than it was to open the door to him for next time that we talk. Point one this morning in your notes. The devil is trying to get a secure position in your life from which further progress can be made. The devil is trying to get a foothold, a secure position in your life from which further progress can be made. And now, here's a sign, one sign that he may have a foothold in your life. This is revealed in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, specifically verse 25. But let me read it to you. This is from the New Living Translation. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. This is talking to the community of faith. This is talking to a body of believers. We're to be thinking of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. In verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. These verses are about community. You have to be in community to be thinking about how to stir someone to, what does it say, to motivate one another to love and good works. You got to be in community. If I'm not in community, if I don't know you. Now, I will know a majority of people here at the church, but this isn't talking to the pastors to do. This is talking for you and I to do. Everybody should be connected, which is a reason that you should be in a smaller group, because this also refers to smaller groups. Don't neglect gathering together. In large groups, in small groups, even over coffee with one or two others. Now, this message has been on my heart for longer than, well, it's been on my heart for over a year, because the material that I read out of a devotional book that I read every morning from a man by the name of Rick Renner. Rick Renner is a missionary pastor, spent most of his time doing ministry in Russia, which is interesting now that Russia is, you know, attacking Ukraine. But he spent his ministry in Russia. But he is a man with a great grasp of the Greek language. I hesitate to call him a Greek scholar because he doesn't refer to himself as a Greek scholar, but he knows more Greek than I would ever expect to know. And he is able to take the meaning of the Greek and assist us in understanding. He made a very specific point in this verse in Hebrews, verse 25. And the book I'm reading is called Sparkling Gems from the Greek, in case anybody wants to look it up. It's a massive book. It weighs a lot, but I have enjoyed it. The word neglect, forsake, or if you have the King James or New King James, it says forsaking, is the Greek word, I'm going to butcher it, enkatalepio. Hey, that sounded pretty good. Probably is not close, but it sounded really good. Okay. This word, while it does mean to neglect or forsake, can also mean someone, a person, who is extremely discouraged, defeated, or depressed. It describes a person who feels left out, down, depressed, and far behind everyone else. See, the word not only describes what they do, it describes how they are feeling that led to the decision to neglect or forsake. So Pastor Renner translates Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 this way on the screen and in your notes. When you're feeling down and depressed, like a failure who is falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time to stay away from other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. I'm going to read it again as you prepare to come. Your mic is right there. When you are feeling down and depressed, like a failure who is falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time to stay away from other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. I've been thinking about this message for a long time. Something very interesting happened in that over the past several months, two individuals have shared with me, or we've been talking, and this subject has come up. One was Nathaniel, and I've asked him to come and share first some of his insight into how the enemy gets a foothold.
I think many of us have an Alamo mentality. How many remember the Alamo? Does anybody know, any historians around here? I'm gonna go a completely different direction, Pastor Rick. I hope that's okay. The Alamo was when the Army of Mexico was attacking Texas, and Texas was trying to win their freedom. And a group of men defended a Spanish mission in southern Texas against a huge army. And I think when we're depressed, can you put that last slide up for me? Many times when we're feeling down or depressed, we have an Alamo mentality. We hunker down and we protect what we have. We've had people close to us that don't live around here that have gone through some really difficult times, and they don't even, it's weeks after when they reach out for help. And our thought is, you went through that all alone? How miserable must that have been for you, that you went through that pain and that heartache? And we think about the Alamo and we celebrate their courage and their bravery, but the bottom line is they all died because they had no help. And I think a lot of times our general tendencies as believers, and a lot of times it's the American in us, that we're gonna defend the Alamo when many times we pull back when we should press in to those around us. The moments when we need others is sometimes our general tendency is to pull back, when really that's the moment when we should be pressing in to those around us, because we are saved by God's grace, but we need God's people. We need God's people.
Because we have somebody coming up. Thank you. Point two in our message is exactly what Nathaniel just said. Many times we pull back when we should press in. That's what Hebrews is talking about. When you get down, when you get depressed, you start to neglect, you start to pull away, you're embarrassed or whatever it might be. Nathaniel's talking, you're going through a rough time and you just either don't know how to reach out or you're afraid to reach out or you're too embarrassed to reach out. And instead of pressing in to the family of God, which is what God has placed us in, we pull back. And when you have done that, enemy has a foothold. He has a foothold. He can get it for all kinds of different ways, but the enemy has a foothold. When that thing happens, what happens is Satan begins to whisper things in your ear. And it feels easier to pull it. Well, you know, they would never understand. If you let that in, if you let them know that, there goes your friendship. Or if you let them know that, they're gonna laugh, they're gonna talk behind your back. And some of us have had experiences where people have done that. But that still doesn't change the fact that what the Word of God says is true. They were wrong. But because of that negative experience, because of that bad experience, what do? We pull away. And so the enemy says, oh, it's gonna be just like last time. Remember last time? Remember, you shared. In that prayer meeting, you shared something that was really intimate. And what happened was, it got all around the church. Never share that again. Never share your problems again. And the enemy will whisper. And as he continues to whisper, his foothold gets more established in your life and in your heart. What we need to do is we should not pull back. We should press in. Several months ago, let me go to the third point, and then I'll make this point. Number three, Satan knows that if he can get you to fall out of fellowship with other believers at the very moment you need fellowship and encouragement the most, he can keep you down and defeated. Satan knows that if he can get you to fall out of fellowship with other believers at the very moment you need fellowship and encouragement the most, he can keep you down and defeated. Now, listen, you can pray at home. I hope you pray at home. You can read your Bible at home. And sometimes this is what he whispers, that, you know, you don't need to go to this. You can, and this is the enemy. He's telling you, you can just pray right here at home. You can read the Bible right here at home. You can do church online. We make church online available. Because there are people that need to have church online. But if you are on church, or you are taking advantage of church online, not for a physical reason, not for a health reason, you're doing it because you are afraid to be amongst other people, there's a possibility there's a foothold in your life. Several months ago, Tony Darnell and I were having a conversation about a variety of things. Every time when Tony and I get together, we can talk about a variety of things. But a topic came up that is somewhat reinforcing to this. And so I asked Tony to share, if he would, this morning, some of the things that he has discovered over the years about this topic. Thank you, my friend.
Where the rubber meets the road. If what I'm getting ready to say stings to somebody, understand it is not directed at anyone in specific, but it is directed at everyone, including myself. You're a parent of a teen, and that teen comes home and tells you that they now believe that they are lesbian, gay, transgender, whatever it might be. You're a parent of a teen, and you get a call from school. That teen has been referred to the police department for possession of marijuana. That list can go on and on and on. I'm focusing on parents with teens because historically, not just in this church, but historically, that is one of the primary footholds that Satan has used to get people to leave, again, not only this church, and it has happened in this church over the years, but many other churches. And as I've thought about it over the years, we're not talking about people who have been in this church and they've only been here for a month, or they've been on the periphery. We're talking about people who are very, very involved, some in leadership positions. And as I sat back, and in hindsight, it's always much easier to see, and I watched someone who knows the word, deeply involved in their church, be hurt or embarrassed by one of their children, only to come to church, and then I have no way of knowing whether it's a real slight or whether it's a perceived slight, that people look at them different. So-and-so said something about me. We weren't welcome there anymore. It's heartbreaking to see it happen to people that you know very well, and that it's become obvious what's happening. So if I know it about a few people, how many more has it happened to? As with almost everything in life other than salvation itself, there's two sides to every coin. And when it comes to giving Satan a foothold, Pastor Rick, I think, is focusing on one side of that. Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't allow that thought, which you walked in the back door after something terrible's happened in your life, and you think somebody just looked at you different. There is a tiny little foothold that can grow and grow and grow, and over the course of a couple of weeks or a couple of months, if you allow it to grow and become a major foothold in your life, it can destroy you spiritually. The other side to that is, and we've all done it, all of us have done it at some point in our lives, and shame on us if we've done it in a church. We allow Satan to use us as that foothold. Something we've said about, oh my goodness, did you hear? And feigned concern when it's really nothing but gossip about, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh my goodness, their daughter is pregnant. Or so-and-so, did you see in the paper? Their son got arrested. All it takes, and I don't portend that it's easy to do, all it takes, and it's easy, much easier today than what it's been in the past. Pick up your phone, send somebody a text. Hey, I know things are bad right now. We love you. Thinking about you, praying for you. Give me a call. That could do far more to prevent Satan from getting a foothold than you having a friendly little chat with whoever you might be about somebody's misfortune. So when it comes to giving Satan a foothold, don't allow it, and don't allow it to happen in your life. And on the other hand, don't allow Satan to use you or your behavior as a foothold.
Thank you, Tony. Back in my other church, I was in the office on a Friday. And a phone call came in from long-term attender, member of our church. And she said, I expect you've seen the paper. And I said, she knew I read the weekly paper, and it came out on Thursdays in that particular community. And she said, I expect you've seen the paper. I'm so sorry. And I'd read the paper, but in our community, the first section of the paper that was turned to were the police reports and the fire and those type of things. Not a place that I normally went. Her, and Tony already alluded to it, her son, had been arrested, was in jail. The information was there in the paper. And she said, I don't think I can face the church. Don't think I can face the church on Sunday. I said, but we've all got issues in our lives. She said, yeah, but I, and what was happening was, since the arrest, now the arrest appeared in the paper on Thursday, it had happened several days before, the enemy had been whispering to her about her parenting, about her lack of parenting, about this, about that, and it was growing and growing and growing and growing in her mind and her heart. But she did the right thing. She called. So that I could say, listen, we've all got kids who mess up. Yours just happened to make the paper. I said, this is the place you need to be. And exactly what she expected happened, happened, but only halfway. And let me explain. Oh, yeah, lots of people had read the paper. Not me, but lots of people had read the paper. And when she walked in the door, instead of getting maybe stares of, oh, look at, she was embraced. See, a lot of times we don't even give the body of Christ a chance to embrace us because the enemy has already whispered to us what he tells us what they're going to do. Sometimes it does happen. There are horror stories. I appreciate what Tony said, that hopefully we won't become a part of any of those horror stories. They do happen. You need a group of believers. You need small group times. You need bigger group times. You need one-on-one times with a close friend or two in Jesus. Number four. Number four. Point four. Church is the last place the devil wants you to go when you're feeling low. Church is the last place the devil wants you to go when you're feeling low. Why? Because if the church is functioning like it says in Hebrews, we're encouraging one another. We're lifting up the one who is feeling down. And the devil doesn't want that because he wants to keep his foothold and he wants to get an even more secure position. Church is the last place the devil wants you to go. Here's another quote from Rick Renner. This isn't from the Greek, but this is just a quote. Don't let embarrassment or discouragement keep you away from other believers. You need their strength. You need their testimony. You need their encouragement. You need to hear them say, you can do it, you can make it. That's what you need. But that's what the devil does not want you to receive. Fifth point, very quickly, you begin to close the door on the enemy through repentance. If the devil has gotten a foothold, if he has gotten a foothold and you have drawn away or you have held some bitterness, you've been offended, the devil has got a foothold through embarrassment, you feel so embarrassed, I can never show my face there again. You begin to close the door to the enemy through repentance. Repentance only means this, a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. A change of mind that leads to a change of direction. You might say, Lord, my family member, they blew it big time. And I was wrong to be embarrassed and to pull away from believers. Forgive me, Lord, I'm going back. Lord, I am wrong to still be offended. Forgive me. I am forgiving those who offended me. I'm going to re-engage with the body of Christ. Lord, I am wrong for staying angry. Please forgive me. I will work to mend that relationship. Folks, it happens to the best. I saw it played out many, many years ago. Very common knowledge, so I'm not sharing anything that is outside of common knowledge. In Kansas, our district superintendent had three children. I knew all three of them from the camp programs, knew them all by name. They knew me. We'd laugh at camp. We would have a great time. I received an email from the district office that one of the children of our district superintendent had got his girlfriend pregnant. And the email stated that our district superintendent, feeling that it was the honorable thing to do, approached his board, which is the presbytery board in our denominational setting, and said, I do not have proper control over my family. My son has gotten his girlfriend pregnant. Therefore, I am resigning my position as district superintendent. To which the board says, we will not accept that. He said, but the Bible says that if a man cannot keep his own household proper, a leader in the church, then he should step away. He said, your son is no longer living at home. Your son is an adult. And so the board would not accept his decision. And with great humility, my district superintendent wrote an email to the entire district, as well as others, as to what had happened, how saddened he was, how embarrassed he and his wife were and the family were about this situation, explained that he had chosen to resign his position, but the board stated that no, he was still our district superintendent, and he still is. In fact, he preached here just several months ago, Pastor Terry Yancey, still a good friend. His son married the young lady, and they've continued to remain married. But see, there was a situation where, depending on how it would have gone, if he would have sent that email and it would have gotten back all of these terrible emails, I can't believe it, he's still this, he's still that, I'm no longer going to affiliate, we're going to vote you out type of thing. But what I heard happened, I sent one, was affirming emails. We love you, Pastor. You've been there for us, Pastor. We're there for you. Very often we call our district superintendents pastors. That's why sometimes when I refer to Pastor Don Gifford, who is the district superintendent here in Indiana, I will call him Pastor Don Gifford, because I consider him to be a man who pastors the local pastors. And I sent back to him, as did hundreds of others, you've been there for us. We're going to be there for you. We're praying for your son. We're praying for this young lady. At that point, they weren't sure if they were going to get married or what was going to happen, but that was the direction that it took. That is the body of Christ doing what needs to be done. But the enemy can sometimes get in and begin to tear us away through two ways. One, we separate ourselves, or as Tony had mentioned, depending on how the body of Christ responds, we can push people away, which is not what Jesus desires. Pastor Renner actually translated that entire verse. We only were looking at verse 25, and he stopped it there, but coming up on the screen, I think I put it up there, didn't I, the whole verse? Or is that the slide? I forgot. I think I made the slide and I forgot. Let me read it to you. It's in my notes. When you're feeling down and depressed, like a failure who is falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time for you to stay away from other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. That is the very time that you need to come together for the sake of encouragement, so you can face your battles more bravely. When you're feeling down and depressed, like a failure who is falling behind everyone else, that isn't the time for you to stay away from other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. That is the very time that you need to come together for the sake of encouragement, so that you can face your battles more bravely. I'm going to pick this up in 2 weeks. Team, would you make your way back to the platform? Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, I pray for the man, the woman, the teenager, senior adult, this morning who's really, really struggling. And Lord, you brought them. They didn't feel like coming this morning. They didn't feel like being here. There are things going on in their life and they hate to face other people. But Lord, they needed to hear what the enemy was attempting to do. And they need to receive grace this morning. Lord, for the one that is down, for the one who's depressed, for the one who feels like a failure, falling behind everyone else, for the one who has been staying away or who is thinking of staying away from other believers. Lord, may they remain or return. May they get plugged back in or for the first time to a smaller group so that they can receive encouragement, so they can face their battles more bravely. Lord, for anyone who might be at home, they've been watching church online, and I'm not trying to put guilt on you. You're doing it for the right reasons, but unfortunately what's happened is that the enemy has got a foothold, a stronghold, and he's getting a more secure position. In the name of Jesus, I come against him, and I pray that you'll make the decision to return. If not the Columbus First Assembly, if this isn't your home church, I know some of you watch out of town. Wherever your home church is or should be, return there. Begin to receive from the Lord what he needs for you, that he has for you today. Jesus' name.
Someone pray with you.
For those of you at home, God bless you for watching. Really, we're not trying to step on your toes. Some of those of you that are watching online, we know why many of you have to watch online because of physical issues. But I'm going to challenge you. If you're home because you're staying away from the gathering of people because of hurt or because of embarrassment or because of your own sin or because of your child's sin, whatever that might be, I think it's time to get out of the pajamas on Sunday mornings, or get over to the church on Wednesday night, or to find a small group that's meeting and begin to re-engage. Those verses in Hebrews are community verses. Yes, you can read the Bible at home. Yes, you can watch church online at home, but you can't get the encouragement that comes from being in relationship to other people through a screen. You think it happens on Facebook, or you think it happens on Instagram when somebody responds to you. That is not the same as being face-to-face over coffee, as being in a circle, in a small group, as being in a gathering like this, coming forward to receive prayer. We want you to receive everything Jesus has for you. Do not neglect the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. Some are in the habit because the enemy has got a foothold. Gather back together for encouragement and for strength.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.